Welcome back to the Derek Hunter Show. I am the aforementioned Derek Hunter, and I wanted to have this next guest on. He's one of my favorite guests. He's just brings an insider's perspective to this and really help get to the root of the problem. He's the author of the book, A Battle for the Soul of Islam, an American Muslim Patriot's Fight to Save His Faith. You can find it on Amazon now. He's also he's a former lieutenant commander in the Navy, a commissioner on the U.S. Commission of International Religious Freedoms, and he is the president and founder of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. His name is Dr. Zudi Jasser. Dr. Jasser, thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about what the possible roots of what we saw up in Boston up there and in Canada. I mean, I guess it's sick to say, but it's one thing to be raised in the Middle East, and it's another thing to be raised essentially in the United States. What is it about, how do some people get radicalized? I mean, I lived in Dearborn, Michigan in college, no problems at all, great people, and there was nothing, no sense of that, but it's like 1.1% of people who get radicalized. How does that come about?
Well, you know, you have to look upon it that this doesn't happen overnight, and we have to be clear on what we mean by radicalization. You know, these guys, the militant part of the radicalization happened in the last few months, probably, where all of a sudden they started bonding with imams on the internet that talked about jihad and militancy, and who knows, they may have learned when he went to Russia how to make the bombs, etc. Mm-hmm. But the bigger part is almost like, I look upon political Islam as a drug or an opium, which is a supremacist idea that governments where Muslims can make them Islamic should be Islamic based in their interpretation of Sharia. And they look upon the West, which is secular and separates church and state, as being the enemy and godless, and they don't really understand what America is. So when people look upon these boys as being, well, they looked at like regular Americans, and they were in school and did boxing and soccer. And well, they, you know, listen, Americanism is not about sports and school. It's about a political ideology that believes that all people, regardless of faith, regardless of racial ethnicity, have equal access to government, and we have an establishment clause. That is an anathema to groups like the Muslim Brotherhood out of Egypt. And if you look, the first thing the younger brother is telling authorities is his brother wanted to defend Islam. Well, you know, it's not too much conjecture for me to look back at the same pattern of Nidal Hassan and so many others, where they see Americans as the enemy. They see us as anti-Islam, anti-Muslim. And that's the narrative that gets pushed by a lot of, you know, nonviolent but Islamist groups in America that come from the Muslim Brotherhood mindset. And that narrative then creates the milieu almost like an intoxicant, where then some of those people can then become militant.
I could see this, and I've read a lot about in Afghanistan, they're putting bombs on children and sending them into crowds. But children are kept illiterate a lot of times in these schools, in these madrasas over there, and in Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood, I'm sure, will have that too, because an ignorant people are an easily manipulated people. But there are some who are fully aware of what the Quran truly says, and it is the antithesis of what these radicals preach. Where does the sort of bastardization of the faith come in?
Well, that's a great question. You're right. The masters that are creating these movements, bin Laden was very wealthy and educated. The princes of Saudi Arabia, with their relationship with the radical Wahhabis, are probably one of the primary cancer cells of these ideas. That is about the domination of the Islamic states around the world, and that's the ideas pumped into mosques from, you know, from Afghanistan to Egypt, even into some in the United States. But that is a particular fundamentalist version of Islam. It's not the Islam I learned. It's not the Islam of the majority of Muslims that I know. It is one that is based in theocracy. We see them running Iran. We see them running Saudi Arabia, and now with the Brotherhood running Egypt. But the Brotherhood didn't get the majority of votes the first time around. It only got 25%. The problem is the other 75% were all divided among hundreds of parties and couldn't unify around one idea the way America unified around one idea at the time of our revolution against theocracy. So that's why this is a battle within the heart of Islam, within the soul of Islam, and Americans need to start taking sides instead of just sort of pushing it away and say, well, let them fix it on their own. You know, if we leave it to their own, the strong horse is going to win, which so far has been either the petrodollars of Qatar and Saudi, or the fascist dictators, as we see in Assad in Syria, or, you know, previously with Gaddafi and the monarchs of life of Tunisia.
How do we, you know, I can't speak on behalf of the Muslim community. I'm not a Muslim, but you are, and you are one of the few who are courageous enough to speak out against, and there's a tenet in Islam that every, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that everybody's your brother, and you can't refuse a favor, things like that. Is that what's holding back so many people from, I mean, they'll condemn it, but they don't vote, they're not as vocal as you. Is that part of the faith, or why
well,
is that? Or is it fear?
You're exactly right, is that, you know, there's a chapter in my book about tribalism and how that has been one of the biggest problems. And the Western Enlightenment was about individual rights being lifted up over the tribe, over the community. Mm. And in the Islamic concept, the concept of community, or in Arabic, ummah, has two definitions. The other definition is state. And as long as Muslims still believe in the Islamic state, where your belief of the ummah is equal to belonging to an Islamic nation state, from the nation state concept of the Islamic state follows then militant jihad and the belief that you kill people that leave because it's like treason. We have to reform that. And I have a passage at the website for my book, A Battle for the Soul of Islam, where it says, one of the passages in the Quran that says, fight for truth, even if it be against your parents and against your own family. So within the faith itself, we have the mechanisms in which to repair ourselves, speak out for truth against the radicals, against the theocrats, and teach Muslims that, you know, you may call it Sharia and call it God's law, but once man interprets it, it's not God's law, it's man-made law, and Sharia should be left to the personal environment. Go ahead.
My guest is Dr. Zuhdi Jasser. The book is A Battle for the Soul of Islam, An American Muslim Patriot's Fight to Save His Faith. Find it on Amazon. Now, doctor, what can is there anything that we can do to encourage, as an outsider, as a non-believer, I guess not an outsider, but a non-believer, to our fellow American Muslims who say, encourage them to come out, or just basically we sort of have to sit on the sidelines? I feel like I want to do something, but I don't know what I can do, basically.
That's a great question, and we need to shift the needle away from the victimization, away from the, you know, sort of blind assessment that this is just violent extremism, and begin to empower Muslims to say, well, okay, what do you, take ownership of this. Don't just, you know, be worried about your own, you know, safety and tell Americans about not being bigots and racist. Take ownership, and what are the ideas that drive this, and help us begin to create institutions, much like in the Cold War, we started to create institutions that were about free markets, that countered communism and Soviet theory, and we ended up winning that without firing a bullet. The solution to this war is not going to be militarily, but it's going to be through a public-private partnership with government, media, universities, beginning to have panels and discussions, a vibrant debate about where is the radicalization, how does separation of Muslim youth of ideas out of America happen, and make them feel that they're living as visitors here or enemies here rather than as American citizens.
Dr. Zuhdi Jasser, one last thing before we run out of time. Yesterday, I can't stand this group, Media Matters for America, put out one of their posts about Fox running a whole bunch of people who are anti-Islam on their website, and you were included in there. You obviously are Islamic. I just want you to address the sort of stupidity and the politically correct and the progressive movement in this country sort of foists on it that you, of all people, could be labeled anti-Islam.
What is so bizarre is that I'm actually pretty orthodox. Keep halal diet, pray five times a day, read my Quran every day. My kids are going to Islamic school. But yet, yes, I'm very critical of my community, especially its leaders. So, you know, they never address the substance. The problem with this issue is that the left uses it, and sometimes the right does too, as a checkbox. The left says, well, we protect minorities, and, well, Zuhdi doesn't fit the mold, so let's ignore him. And sometimes the right says, well, no Muslim could ever be moderate, and they use this as a ping-pong ball rather than looking that
right. In
our organization, we have bipartisan support, and we're trying to reform. I mean, we should be working with the feminists, with the gay rights movements, with so many that are the first victims of Islamist theocracies, which we're trying to reform. But yet they want to turn a blind eye to that and simply look at it through the very narrow lens of partisanship.
Amen. Dr. Zuhdi Jasser, the book, A Battle for the Soul of Islam, An American Muslim Patriot's Guide or Fight to Save His Faith. Dr. Jasser, I appreciate your time. It's always an honor to talk to you.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.